about fucking. You gotta put it in perspective.
Good morning, apartment. Good morning, doorway. Morning, wall. Morning, ceiling. Good morning, floor. Ready to start the day.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
With the exception of the late, great Abraham Lincoln, I can be more presidential than any president that's ever held this office. Right. That I can tell you.
Quiet! You live in a dream. You don't know who you are. Your face is a mask. No one knows you. You don't know yourself. You see your life in romantic terms, but it's a fantasy. You feed your mind with lies.
Get him the hell out of here.
And now.
And that's satire. Right? And that's irony. And that's coincidence. It's a metaphor.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 27th of July. What's up, you guys?
Happy National Scotch Day.
Oh, I didn't realize it was National Scotch Day. All right. Oh.
It's a big day.
You know, if we want people to bring us stuff that we mentioned on the radio, we should start doing it the day before so they have time to prepare.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Drop it off the next morning.
We didn't think that through.
No.
Because now, National Scotch Day, you know, even if people hear about it, this is going to be too late for today.
I think earlier this week was National Hot Fudge Sundae Day.
So. Was it really?
Yeah.
We are dropping the ball on our favorite things.
We're so lame.
I am very supportive of Happy Post Scotch Day. Happy After Scotch Day.
Is that a thing? Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, it's starting, I'll take it tomorrow.
Starting to be a thing now.
Sure.
Okay. Scotch it is. I don't think I've ever had scotch.
You don't drink.
Oh, that's right.
So, of course. I don't think I've ever had. Just fill in the blank.
Fill in the blank. Hey, I know we have a lot of show today, including an interview we're very excited about with Trent Reznor, because it's always it's very difficult to get Mr. Reznor to do interviews, as you know. So it's always a thrill when we have him on. So we'll talk all about that and everything else coming up in the show. But I want to start with this. We're not into racism anymore. We're down with racism, we've decided.
I believe that's the...
I don't think we're down with racism. We don't like it.
Right.
Oh,
that could be both.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Yes.
We're against it.
We decided it's
no bueno. And how about stereotypes? Are we cool with stereotypes, or are they also...
I think we're all about stereotypes.
I think it depends on the stereotype. But yeah, I think mostly, yeah.
How about white people smell like mayonnaise?
They do.
We're down with that, right?
Hell, man's.
I mean, I will tell you when it's a. I'm just going to say it, and maybe I'll get in trouble. But when we're broadcasting live someplace, and the whole Kevin and Bean show is together, and somebody needs to take a picture, I always ask Christine to do it because you know Asian, and I figure she's going to be the best photographer. Right now, is that the kind of stereotype that is stupid and I should eliminate from my mind?
According to our company, that is not acceptable. Mm-hmm. Having said that, Christine is the best photographer.
She's the best photographer, right.
For reals.
For reals, right. But I mean, even, and I guess we've been told in the courses we've been required to take through CBS, even positive stereotypes are negative. You're not allowed to attribute to a people, to a race, or to an ethnicity, even something positive.
Mm-hmm. What's this leading up to, Bean?
This is leading up to a story in Washington State that is just so bizarre. It is in the headline, it says it is a baffling billboard aimed at Latinos that will now come down after outrage.
Now, it takes a lot to outrage Latinos.
They're pretty mellow.
They're pretty mellow, right?
In Washington State, especially, Allie, and I think you know why. By the way, are we now guilty of what we've just said we're not supposed to do by lumping Latinos together as being easygoing people who aren't outraged easily? Are we not allowed to say that?
Technically, no, but I feel like it's true. They're not a complaining group, and that makes them good.
On Tuesday, reporter Mike Falk of the St.
Should
Louis...
I have left off that makes them good?
Maybe.
Makes them good.
Okay, that's my bad. I'll take that back.
You know, those people...
That one's on me.
They're good.
Right.
Okay, so he's a racist.
Right.
Yes, he is. Thank you.
Here we go.
Nope.
It's on.
It's just...
Race war!
We haven't even
told... Race war's on, everybody!
It's not...
It's going down!
Nope.
It's going down! Race war. Come on. Race war.
On Tuesday, reporter Mike Falk of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch posted a photo of a billboard on Twitter. While some Twitter users called the sign... totally inappropriate and tone deaf, others found the billboard amusing. The billboard is part of the Washington State Department of Health's statewide prevention campaign that seeks to dissuade teens from using marijuana. So here's what the billboard is. There are five young people that look like they're all in their 20s. And the headline is, "We don't need pot to have fun. We're Hispanics. We're cool by default." Again, "We don't need pot to have fun. We're Hispanics. We're cool by default."
Now,
I'd be proud of that.
I was going to say,
Hispanic.
Who would complain about that?
Well, I get, that's why
you know
I
mean, like, how is that offensive?
It's stupid.
It is
and
stupid. It's
untrue.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard.
And as the headline says, it is baffling. But that's why I asked all those warm-up questions about stereotypes, because this isn't a positive or a negative. I mean, I guess it's technically a positive,
it's a positive
to say you're cool by default, but it's also stupid.
Right.
And it's also not true.
They could change it to white people. I'd be happy. Someone would be calling us cool.
But no one
right.
is for the first time
no
ever.
One.
Are Hispanics cool by default?
I don't think anyone's cool by default.
That's what I'm saying. Is look, lots of, there are tons of Hispanic people that are super cool. Cooler than Whitey will ever be. But there are also some duds.
I'm not positive the name Whitey is good either. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the most racist thing I've ever heard.
Right?
I mean, there are a lot of dud Hispanics, too. So I just...
dud Hispanics.
I can't figure out what's like. There was a meeting.
Who signed off on that?
A spokesperson said Wednesday that the billboard was developed with input from the Hispanic community members who have expertise in reaching specific communities. So
they probably met and they were like, let's just say we're cool by default.
F with these white people.
They'll buy it.
And maybe by that they mean marketers, right? They mean people who, hey, how can I get the attention of a teenager or a person in his or her early 20s? And they said, well, one way to do it is to compliment them like that. You know what I mean?
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not going to be effective at all.
No.
Okay.
No. All right. The billboard was also extensively tested among Hispanics living in the Yakima Valley. At no point during our testing did we hear any feedback that indicated the message might offend anyone. Actually, we were excited to learn that youth found this message empowering and most felt a sense of heightened pride in their Hispanic heritage.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be offended either, but I would just, if I were in that focus group, I would say, you're dumb.
Yeah, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I mean, thanks, but no.
Thanks, but where's the weed?
How much cooler would we be with weed, is what I'm saying.
That's what should be on the billboard, Allie. See, you made it better right away.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't know how to answer that question right now.
It's Thursday, so we talked to Dr. Drew. It's Thursday, so we talked to Jim Rome about sports like we do. Dodgers, we're going to talk about
sports, by the way. Seriously.
Again with them.
We're going to talk about Cormier and John Jones.
Oh, dear.
Yep. We have two comedians. Brad Williams will be on the show today, and Maria Bamford will be in studio.
If DC loses, now I have to ask, because Weir is good luck charm, and he's admitted as much on the Kevin and Bean Show. Every time he wins, we say mostly due to the fact that he has recently appeared on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Right, but we know that that's not true.
But well, it is every single time
every
he appears.
Single time. Right. So my question to you:
how
guys
many fights
is,
has he lost?
I don't know.
It has nothing. One, and it has nothing to do with us.
Okay. Did he come in? Technically, he came in on the tour for this, but it was like a month ago.
And he said, I'll be back before the fight because you guys are my good luck charm. And we all said, okay, DC, yay, see
and
you
then he
soon.
Walked in and he was like, those guys believe they were my good luck charm.
But seriously, he is not coming back in.
Right,
right. But so I guess I just want to know now, before we get too deep into the weekend and the fight is Saturday night, is does his appearance a month ago count?
No. Even he said as he was leaving, be back in.
Because, in other words, the power doesn't extend that far.
The power doesn't extend. He doesn't have our juju all over him.
Oh.
It sounds racist.
It does. All right, so it's really – so we're out. We're just
– we're out.
Putting our hands up and just going, hey, it's on you, Daniel?
No, it's always been on him.
But I'm saying we helped
a
little.
I mean, we
helped,
but
I'm saying Kevin. We don't.
But it was a little bit.
With Kevin and Bean, though, carrying him a little bit.
But we don't really help is the thing. We've got your tickets for Metallica at the Rose Bowl. We also have a 55-inch TCL 4K HDR smart TV we're going to give away today, as we've been doing all week. And the lead singer and most of the band of Nine Inch Nails.
Yay!
Trent Reznor at 7 a.m.
Wow.
Very excited about that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
See, off the air, guys. That's where the real show is, right?
Yeah. I got to talk to HR later.
Same.
Yeah.
It is a Thursday morning. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat on The Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
It's Bugs Bunny's birthday.
Okay.
Bugs.
Right?
The best.
Really?
Yes.
The best.
The best.
At?
Of all the classic cartoon Bugs characters.
Bunny. Really?
Who's better?
Mickey Mouse.
No, Mickey Mouse. Is a pussy.
I love Mickey Mouse.
Hey, everybody. Boring. Bugs has got attitude. He's a smart ass. He's hilarious. He kicks ass.
Hey, I like
got
Bugs
the
too.
Attitude.
Can I call a sidebar? Did we do that?
Sure.
Hey, Disney's a big sponsor. So we love all
Disney's
of them.
Is great. Disney's great.
Right.
Mickey is a legend. Don't get me wrong. He's not the best, though. Not the best.
They're all the best.
They're not, because Bugs
you
is
didn't
the best.
Hear the sidebar. Sidebar.
No,
again.
I heard your sidebar. Mickey's great. Don't
right.
get me wrong,
okay.
But he's not the best.
Okay. Bugs is the best.
Bugs is the best, all is right. what I'm saying. 77 years old today.
77 years ago!
He first appeared.
I mean, those cartoons hold up like they were made today.
Yes!
They're better than cartoons that are made today.
Thank you!
Why are you yelling?
I don't know. You know how Bugs is getting old? Gray hair. He's a gray hair.
Wow.
See,
not my favorite, but I'll allow it.
H-A-R-E, Kevin.
Yeah.
And H-A-I-R yeah. sound alike.
Right. I get it.
I don't think you get it.
I get it.
Fire must cleanse us.
Right.
While we're talking about cartoons and legends... This made me sad. It's hard because it was an amazing long life, but still kind of sad. Voice acting legend June Foray passed away last night at the age of 99.
Wow.
Now you may ask yourself, who is June Foray? Trust me, you knew her work. She was not only Rocky the Flying Squirrel on the Bullwinkle Show, but also Natasha of Boris and Natasha. She was Nell, Dudley Do-Right's girlfriend. She was Granny and all the Warner Brothers cartoons with Sylvester and Tweety. She was the voice of Cindy Lou Who in The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. I mean,
wow.
Decades and decades and hundreds of classic animated characters. She was really a talent. Here's just a little tribute to her. Some of the voices you may recognize from the late, great June Foray.
Can't take my eyes off you for a second. Let me warn you, Sylvester, for absolutely the last time, if there's one little feather, just one little feather harmed of this bird, I'm going to sell you to the violin string factory.
Dudley, fancy meeting you here. I always knew you were a big spender, and there's just so many things in town I want to buy.
You're great. Big, wonderful moose.
That's me, all right.
Maybe you could see to it that Hard Knocks wins next Saturday.
Why not?
Bullwinkle, you can't do that.
I'm supposed to help ladies in distress.
But Chapter 3 says you never throw a game.
Well, you read your chapter, I'll read mine.
Rocky the Flying Squirrel.
Yeah.
Now here's something we hope you really like.
Wasn't she also Talkie Tina? From
yes,
that Twilight Zone episode.
Twilight Zone, yes.
Yeah, the creepy doll.
Oh.
What?
I remember that. That was
I'm
a creepy little...
Tina,
yeah.
And I okay. don't like you.
I know. I know.
So, best of talented lady. Today's celebrity birthdays, Triple H is 48 years old today. Oh, I'm out of time, but I do want to mention Justin Bieber ran a guy over with his car.
What?
So,
how do you not lead
Wait,
with
what?
That?
Well, he has a lot more time for stuff like that now that he's not touring.
That's right.
Justin Bieber ran someone over with his car.
Well, it was a truck, in all fairness. It was a pickup truck.
And it is on video, Kevin. You'll enjoy it.
Okay.
And you do see the guy just get smacked to the ground.
I thought he was going to ride bikes.
No, no bikes. Big, 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 big pickup truck running over.
When did this happen?
Last night.
Oh.
Outside the church, outside the Hillsong Church.
Uh-oh.
Wow, he's combining all of it.
He finally answered that question. Who would Jesus run over with his truck? go to ABC. ABC's got the best footage, really, right. of the sickening thud and the post. Wait, where Bieber's like mad at everybody else. You guys got enough pictures of this? This guy laying on the ground. Hey, douchebag, you're the one that ran him over. Don't get mad at the paparazzi.
Man, it didn't take him long to get into trouble.
He's the worst.
That's crazy.
Triple H is 48 years old as we look at celebrity birthdays. Maya Rudolph turns 45. Love her. Super talented lady. Pete Yorn is 43. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is 40 years old. Actress Taylor Schilling is 33. We forgot about her in the list of the good Taylors.
Oh, right.
There's really only one bad Taylor.
That's true. Maybe we should look at it that way.
If we just list that one.
We should list only the bad one, and then all the other ones we can assume are good. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz beat.
So we're asking you to sing your favorite Metallica song to win your way into the Rose Bowl on Saturday. But don't be like this lady.
Darkness imprisoning me. All that I see. Absolutely all that I cannot live. I cannot die.
That's not what we're looking for,
right?
She
was fantastic.
She knocked it out of the park.
Thank you.
Oh, she did. Did she, Allie?
She really did.
All right, give me that big Phoebe song. You are on the line, ready to play. It's time for Listener-Oki.
Listener-Oki, Listener-Oki. That's the game we're gonna play. Listener-Oki. Come and sing and don't be lame.
All right, so you sing, you make the cut, you go into the drawing, someone wins tickets, unless there's just an absolute standout that we all agree we want to give the tickets to, correct?
Correct.
All right, who's first?
Start with Fernando in Ontario. Hi, Fernando.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We are good, thank you.
We apologize how early it is, and we're asking you to sing, especially a Metallica song, but what have you selected for us today?
Oh, no.
Oh, Fernando.
We lost your phone, buddy.
What? All right.
Wait. Oh, there he is.
He's
back.
Okay. All right. Okay, don't move.
Whatever you're doing, don't move.
Okay.
What song are you going to sing?
Master of Puppets.
Go.
Love it.
Master of Puppets are pulling your string. Twisting your mind and smashing your dream. Blinded by me, you can't see this day. Just call my name because I hear you scream. Master, just call my name because I hear you scream.
That is outstanding, Love Fernando. It. You hang on. Well done, sir. See, that's how you do it, guys.
Right? Let's go to Adrian in Lakewood. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What song are you going to sing?
Enter Sandman.
Go ahead. Now, your phone's not doing you any good, but that sounded great.
I like the beginning of that. The beginning of that had a little bit of a loungy flavor, but then it rocked out at the end. So something for everybody. All right, Adrian, you're still in the drawing. Hang on, please. Who's next?
Let's do Anthony and Pico Rivera. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Well, you got a lot of competition here. We're playing Listener Rookie for Metallica tickets at the Rose Bowl. What are you going to do for us here, sir?
I was going to do you guys Sad But True.
Sad But True. Here's Anthony.
Tender.
Hey, I'm the one who takes you there. I'm the one who cares. They betray. I'm the one who's your friend now.
Okay. Anthony's got a big voice, by the way.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Maybe a tip. If you get too close to your phone, you do overpower it when you're singing a Metallica song.
A little distortion.
Most songs you can get away with, but not Metallica.
Yeah, that's not their fault. They don't know. I don't know how it sounds on this end, but yeah, it's a good tip.
Let's go to James in South El Monte. Hi, James.
Hi.
What song are you going to sing?
Nothing Else Matters.
All right. Here's James.
Trust I seek and I find in you. Every day for all something new. Open mind for a different view. And nothing else matters.
Little pitchy, dog. Little pitchy, dog.
Come on, that was excellent.
Come on now. That was great, James. Thank you.
You're still in the drawing. Thank you. Wow, these are good, by the way. How about Charles in L.A. line F5? I think this could be good. I got a good feel about Charles.
Hey, Charles.
Hey, what's up?
Bean has a good feeling about you, and I'm not sure why, but what song are you going to sing for us?
Wherever I May Roam.
All right, here's Charles.
And the road becomes my bride. I am stripped of all but pride. So in her I do confide. Gives me all I need. And the dust is what I crave.
All right.
Let me say this. My instincts are not unfaltering. Thank you. let's try one more. I am told, I don't know the song, but Beer Mug tells me that Sergio is not to be missed on line 8, please.
All right. Sergio, hi.
Good morning, everybody.
What song do you have to sing?
Man, that's some stiff competition there.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, right?
Yes, sir.
What song?
Dyer's Eve.
Dyer's Eve. Eve.
All right, let's hear some of that.
That's off the Injustice for All album.
All right.
All right, go for it.
Yep, here's Sergio.
All right.
Dear mother, dear father, what is this that you have put me through being a teacher? Day and day I'll live my life through you. Person to me, what's wrong, all right? And from this day,
okay. All right. You can't question his commitment.
Correct.
Sergio is definitely going for it. We appreciate that. All right. So everybody's in the drawing. Fernando and Adrian and Anthony and James and Charles and Sergio all trying to win those tickets for the Rose Bowl Saturday. Metallica and Avenged Sevenfold. But only one can win. Miss Helen McKay, who might that be today?
The winner is Fernando.
Yeah!
Fernando.
You won.
Yeah, that's killer.
Congratulations.
I'm so stoked.
Congrats. Enjoy the show. Thanks for playing the game.
Listen to Rocky. Thanks for playing our game. Listen to Rocky. You suck them or lame.
By the way, to Nine Inch Nails fans here and around the world, Trent Reznor joins us just after 7 a.m. on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the new EP that came out on Friday and touring plans for the year and whatever else we can get out of Trent. He's pretty tight-lipped on stuff, but we'll try. And comedian Maria Bamford is going to be here, too. Very excited about that. That's all coming up in the 7 o'clock hour here on K-Rock.
We love Alex Jones because he believes in every single conspiracy possible.
And by love him...
We're obsessed with him, but we don't love him. Correct.
Okay.
No, he's the worst.
I want to be very clear that
he's
the
worst.
Horrible, horrible man.
In an entertaining way.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And he ran into, of all people, in Hawaii while on vacation, Spencer Pratt.
Now that's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Do you remember
that? Makes
perfect
sense to me.
Spencer Pratt was on The Hills,
yeah.
I'm going to say, back in the day. And he, shockingly, is still married to Heidi Montag. I can't believe they're still together.
And
but
I think
yes.
She's pregnant.
I think
they're
so
having
too.
Their
yes.
first kid.
So they both turn up at the same place in Hawaii on vacation. And I am also stunned that either one of them recognized the other. Like, why would Spencer Pratt even know who Alex Jones is and vice versa? But they seem to, and they seem to be very chummy, and they put it all up on Snapchat, and I think we have some of that.
Live here, InfoWars Bakery, with Alex Jones.
Good to see you, brother. You got to come back on the show, man.
Good to see you.
Congratulations on the baby coming along.
Yeah, you got more famous than Spidey now.
I don't know about that.
Oh, you are. You took our game.
No.
Now,
he's still calling it Spidey.
B... Alex Jones stole his fame?
Yes, because you're only... Kevin, you don't know this? There's only allowed to be one famous person in the world at a time.
And until yesterday, Spencer Pratt thought that was still him?
Oh,
yes, he did.
Sweet spirit.
Here's another clip.
You ready to go snorkeling?
I got caught by the Spidey here, ladies and gentlemen.
You're in the web.
We've got to do a live show tomorrow, so this is like destiny.
All right, we'll see. Let's do it.
Let's do it. You want to hear Spencer and Alex Jones doing a show?
Yes, I do.
I mean, I could turn it on, but I feel that way, so I kind of let the dog off the leash.
Is there some, like, a trigger line that I say that gets you worked up that we can get that clip?
Well, like tyranny, people trying to dominate and take control of our lives.
Yeah, they are. So can we get a clip, just a little outburst for the fans?
I mean, I'm in a good mood right now. The thing is, I'm on air for hours. And I start thinking about Hillary ruling over my family, that slug-murdering piece of crap who thinks we're all her slave better than us. No, she's going to fail. I just got to think about what a piece of crap she is and Bill Clinton and all the rest of them.
It seems like you're on the way.
I had a weird dream last night that, like, Bill Clinton was at Public and Paula Jones was there on stage and he, like, ran over like Gollum and was, like, grabbing on her. I just remembered that just now. I have nightmares about Clinton.
I was going to say, I am glad I don't have those dreams.
That's a pretty good show, right?
And I also would like to say, boy, does Alex Jones know how to enjoy a vacation.
Right?
At least it's so different from his job. Well, let's find out what else happened with Spidey and how the rest of the vacation unfolded. What's new with our good friend from InfoWars.com, Alex Jones, joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Alex!
You know, it's very convenient for you to mock Spidey because you like to take shots at them. Of course you do, because they're not the typical meta-zombies that you like to have in the mainstream media, the Hollywood liberals, the parademons who are flitting around your little studios there because you cannot control them. You cannot control their message. And so you like to mock my friend Spencer and Heidi.
It's not that. It's just that they were on a reality TV show 10 years ago, and they have no talent whatsoever, and they still think they're famous.
They have vision. They have vision. They're Americans. They can see that the tyrannical overlords are trying to take over and control our lives, but they won't have it. They're able to fight for America and fight for true patriotism, and that's much more important than any perceived fame that you might have. Because let me tell you, they're the ones who recognize that graffiti in the urban areas of this country are made up mostly of coconut oil and Metamucil.
I didn't hear them say that.
All right.
I'm very aware of that. And that's why Spidey, Heidi had to have her breast implants removed because they had GPS trackers of the government and put them in her breast implants along with pomegranate gelatin.
I didn't know about that either.
Did not know.
Alex, are you the kind of guy, because I'm sensing not, that can go to Hawaii and just let it all hang out and just relax and unwind a little bit? You seem,
well, Hawaii wasn't just for relaxing for me. I can never relax because we're at war, okay? We're at war for this country. And I was in Hawaii doing research because I have to always stay alert and keep fighting against the Hollywood parademons, against these zombies from the mainstream media that want to take on the Clintons. The Clintons are still attacking us, even in Hawaii. That's why I was there, because the Clintons, it's well known, are stealing the coral reef. They're grinding it up. They're ingesting it themselves to give themselves infinite life. And they're replacing the coral reef with Sara Lee Poundcake and old issues of TV Guide, especially those with Matlock on the cover.
That's a deep one. It's a lot to
where do you get that information? Can we find that fact someplace else?
I had sources. That's why I was snorkeling. I have sources out in the ocean water. That's where I have to have conversations, because that's the only place that the MSN satellites won't take over. It dilutes the mind control devices that can still be found in abalone.
Okay, so you have to do your interviews underwater so that we can't spy on you. I see.
That's right, because the satellites, they have no ability to take out underwater. Okay. And that's why you have to surround yourself with anacondas.
All right, that sounds dangerous. But you still seem to be awfully obsessed with Hillary Clinton, as is the president. But the election was 8 months ago. Isn't it time maybe to start talking about what's happening in the summer of 2017?
You're fooling yourself. You're thinking they're not still controlling. They're pulling the strings, whether she's in office or not.
Oh.
Obama, the Clintons. Obama, the ACA. That's the reason we're trying to repeal it, because the ACA, you know, was put in place simply to replace our bone marrow with Mike and Ike's.
I'm not sure.
I never read
that's
that part.
That's true.
Where are the penguins in Hawaii?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LA and OC's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
So happy to have new Nine Inch Nails music back on K-Rock. We all love that band, and we're very excited to welcome its leader, Trent Reznor, back to the show coming up right after the top of the hour. So stick around for that. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Good morning, sir.
Before I get to Showbiz, I'd like to read a little letter I got from a kid named Pickle, a little 9-year-old named Dylan.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah? He wrote to you?
Yeah. He says, "Dear Kevin and Bean,
uh-huh.
You guys are my heroes.
Oh, that's nice.
I had a birthday party. And I had a cake shaped like Kevin's head.
Oh, that's so
sweet.
That's
a lot of cake.
It fed 150 people at my party. I don't know why people make fun of Bean. He's the best.
Thank you, Dylan.
When I grow up, I also hope to be a loner and a weirdo."
Oh, all right. It's very sweet of an imaginary person to write us a letter.
He's real.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
And he loves you guys.
He seems to, yeah.
Pickle's the best.
People were pointing out that letter that the press secretary read at the White House yesterday from Pickle, that it looked like an adult had sat down mm-hmm. and tried to write something that looked like a kid wrote it, like with the backwards S and mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
It's all so weird, you guys.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, Trent Reznor standing by. What else is going on?
Justin Bieber's running people over. I think we're all in trouble.
Didn't take him
be
long
careful
to get in
on
trouble.
Your walk to the car, I'm right? saying, after the show today. Because I'm thinking now it's like a Stephen King novel. He's like, vroom, vroom, vroom. He just sits there revving the engine, and then you go to get runs you over, this F-150.
Ralph, I know it's a human being that got hit and ended up in the hospital, but...
Don't. Don't.
Not, I have to. These paparazzi, they get on a celebrity's car like flies, and then... They wonder why they get hit.
Did you watch the footage?
I did see it.
Was he on that truck like a fly?
He was.
Or did Justin Bieber turn a wheel and gun a truck and hit a guy?
Justin Bieber drove badly and inappropriately in that situation with that many people around him. But if I don't want to get hit by a truck, I don't stand that close to a moving vehicle. I just don't.
Listen, that's part of the gig.
I know.
That's his job.
I know.
That's what he does.
He wasn't standing right in front of the truck
at all.
Bieber had to actually turn to hit him.
Mm-hmm. He turned the wheel and he gunned it.
It was crazy.
It was like he was creeping slowly out of the driveway, which any sane, rational people would do when they're surrounded with people. Yes, you inch the car forward, you give people a chance to get out of the way, and then once it's clear, you proceed down the road.
Look, it was Justin's fault, but had I been there, I would not have been hit because I would not have been standing where all those
right, but you
men
wouldn't have been doing
were.
That job either.
Yeah,
that's
you
true.
Live in a hut on an island by yourself. There's no danger of you running into anyone ever.
Plus, he wouldn't have had to hit you, and you still would have fallen.
That's right. You would have shattered, Mr. Glass.
Well, how big is the check he's now going to have to write? I might think about it.
No word yet, but the 57-year-old paparazzo was taken to the hospital with what they're calling a non-life-threatening injuries, and apparently he'll be okay after the truck backs up with all the money that Justin Bieber's going to deliver to his house.
Yep. Yeah. And in Justin's defense, he did hang around afterwards and comfort the guy, and they waited.
Wow, what a saint!
What I'm saying, I feel like Justin Bieber of 6 months ago, a year ago, would have just kept driving.
He said, "Is there anything I can do?" I was like, yeah, write a check.
What if
how
the guy
not
is
run
like,
me over?
Right.
He's like, sing Despacito. That's all I want.
I can't do it. I don't know the lyrics, eh?
That would have been the best.
I will not sue you if you sing Despacito.
That would have been great.
Right now.
But let's get all the photographers around.
Yeah, everyone record
everybody
it.
Everybody roll. Here we go.
Oh.
If you watch the footage, Bieber snaps at the other paparazzi, who are naturally taking pictures of him crouched over a guy he just ran over.
Sure.
He snaps him and says, "You got enough pictures of this guy laying on the ground?" Like, hey, how about you run people over less, and then we'll have less to shoot. That's what I would have said, douchebag. The worst, I say. Hey, remember Selena Gomez?
Sure.
She's in the news. She's got a new music video for her new single, Fetish. Are you familiar with the song Fetish?
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh. Oh, man, I didn't like that.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Pants down.
I am
come on, man. Just say yes, like a normal person.
What's wrong? Just nod. Just,
yeah.
Send
try
us
that.
A text. Jesus Christ.
You're just dripping creepy. All I said was yes. Why would you say that? I was responding in the affirmative to whether I was familiar with the song or not.
Yes.
And next time, use the word affirmative. That's a little tougher to make creepy.
And an endless supply of creepy.
Right?
Yeah. Anyway, new video just dropped for that song. Here's a song if you're not familiar with it.
You got a fetish for my love. I'll push you out and you come right back. Don't see a point in blaming.
Selena's desperately trying to separate herself from her Disney girl image in this video. It's almost like a parody of someone trying to make a weird, sexy video. She eats glass in it and soap and...
Well, you eat glass when you're being sexy.
She gets an eyelash curler and she puts it on her tongue and starts pulling on her tongue and she's ripping her nylons and tying string around herself and it's all very...
See how it's pouring rain inside her apartment, too? Do you see that? That was weird.
Keep going like nothing happened.
Okay.
And an endless supply of creepy.
Yep. Okay, ain't that the truth? Today's celebrity birthday is wrestler Triple H is 48 years old today. Maya Rudolph's 45. Love her.
Same.
Remember the Martin Short, Maya Rudolph short-lived variety show?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that show.
I watched every episode.
Pete Yorn is 43 years old today. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers turns 40 years old. Taylor Schilling is 33. And then it's scrawled in here in a little tiny little handwriting. Miami Dolphins quarterback Ryan Tannehill is 29 years old today.
Chip, did you write on his paper?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's the tiniest little writing. It looks like pickle right there. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Trent Reznor next.
This is Trent Reznor.
I hurt myself today.
There is no you, there is only me. the nine-inch nail.
He is a Grammy, Golden Globe, Academy Award-winning composer, singer, songwriter, musician, producer, and friend of K-Rock. Ladies and gentlemen, Trent Reznor back on the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. Mr. Reznor, welcome back, sir. How are you?
Hello. I'm good.
How does it feel to be out out from the underground and among the people in the sunshine and performing again and talking to people and releasing new music? I mean, welcome back. How's it feel?
I can't wait to get back to my cave.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, you create a lot of excitement when you emerge from the hole. But we're happy to have you back. How was the FYF show the other night?
I had a good time, actually. I'll admit we were quite nervous before the show.
Because it wasn't a strictly Nine Inch Nails crowd, or why?
Well, it had been a while. I think it had been 3+ years since we performed. The stress of finishing the last record and also rehearsing the band and getting everything together and trying to think about how we're presenting ourselves and realizing, well, we're pretty high up on that bill and does anyone still care? And, you know, the normal type of insecure demons were present.
You always worry that no one's going to be interested in Nine Inch Nails, and then everyone proves you're wrong every single time.
Well, I don't take anything for granted.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm doing this because I need the uncertainty of it, in a sense. You know, it still feels vital to me, but I need to be in places where it doesn't feel necessarily comfortable. Then when I find I'm in a place that's uncomfortable, I start to complain about it. So.
You don't. I've always wanted to ask you this, Trent, and I don't think I ever have in all the times we've had you on. You are not a guy who is doing a show by rote. You're not going through the motions. You're not thinking about something else while you're singing your songs. I feel like when I'm watching you that the words are coming out of your mouth the same way those words felt to you when you wrote them all those years ago or whenever the song was that you performed. Do you get worked up and emotional and go back to those places while you're actually singing like I feel like you do?
That's the intent. I figure if we're doing this, it needs to be in the moment and it needs to be real, or what's the point of doing it? Now, deep into a 2-year tour, having played 5 nights a week forever, is it hard to be in the moment at times? Yes, it is. You know, sometimes it's very hard not to kind of float away, and because you've just done it so many times.
Sure, but yeah.
There are moments in the set always that anchor you, and I can't get away from. And I think sometimes, you know, it feels cathartic to be in that space, and sometimes you feel the residual effects of being in that space night after night after night. But at FYF the other night, particularly because it's not muscle memory, and you know, we had to be very present to just be aware of what's happening, you know, and it wasn't familiar. I didn't know what to expect when we walked out there. You know, we're up against some very young, zeitgeisty, of-the-moment type acts. You know, not that it's a competition, but nobody wants to be the band that everybody drives home to.
Right. Sure. Yeah, of course. You have spent so much time your whole career with presenting visuals that corroborate the music that you're performing on stage. What did you want to do, and what are you doing the rest of 2017 as you take this thing around the country? What are you doing on stage for us to look at?
Well, my thoughts this time, you know, and this is having paid attention to what bands are doing these days, I think visuals are kind of played out. You know, I think that we're in a world where the EDM-10 has blown everybody's minds with the IMAX experience, you know, of overstimulation. And I can look back to what we've done in the past and admit that we have relied on imagery at times to carry portions of the set. You know, it became a bit of a crutch for certain things. So kind of the idea on this wave of shows, which may continue in this style of performance may continue or not when we continue beyond this, was to eliminate all that, you know, and kind of just throw a rag over the back video screen and not have any visuals. And let's make this about a band playing and sweating and actually performing in the moment in front of you that doesn't feel polished and safe and predictable necessarily.
Wow. You're going to turn the lights up so we can actually see your face.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Someday. Speaking of later this year, you are playing a couple of other festivals, but do you have plans to tour specifically Los Angeles?
No, the shows that we have announced now, that's it for this year. Our master plan was to start touring next year.
Oh, I see.
Summer,
okay.
A handful of shows. The real master plan is seeing if Nine Inch Nails can pull off the 30, 40 shows a year for the next few years rather than be gone 10 months on a tour.
Roger.
That doesn't appeal to me for a number of reasons now.
It seems like bands really have a problem with 10 months at a time with getting along with each other, traveling. It just seems like it does do in a lot of bands.
Well, we've done it. You know, I remember Downward Spiral, we toured for almost 2.5 years continuously. And nobody had an apartment to even come home to, you know, and which I don't recommend.
Right.
But at the time, you know, mid-20s, that seemed like late 20s, maybe that seemed like a... We were all in. If we had the ability to do this, let's do it, and let's do it to the extreme. But that's not who I am anymore.
This is the voice of our friend Trent Reznor here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We should mention again, Ad Violence is the latest EP from the band. It just came out this past Friday. And I wanted to ask you about that. Rather than the traditional, hey, I'm going to release an album, you're breaking it up into EPs this time around. You had one in December. You got this one. I assume there's a third one coming later in the year. What's the strategy there, Trent?
It really was just a fun way for us to work. It felt inspiring to kind of break things into 20-minute, 25-minute chunks. That was the main concern. I think secondarily we thought, you know, you can put an album out that you worked on for 2 years and it's reviewed, dismissed, and forgotten over the same 48 hours, you know.
Right.
Whether it's a single or an EP or an album. And I thought, you know, emerging, having some more stuff out at a higher frequency was a nice extra thing that comes from working in smaller chunks. So we're just experimenting.
We are playing a Less Than, the current single on K-Rock, and it's a great song. But I wanted to ask you about The Background World, which is maybe my favorite song on the EP. It's almost 12 minutes long, and about half of it is just distortion that you feel in your bones. And I'm so fascinated with how, what's in your mind when you make that decision to make that much noise for that long on a track? What is it you're hoping the listeners get out of that?
It really just felt like the right thing to do. That was it. We'd agonized over the front half of that song for a long time. That was not an easy one to come to realization. And when it got to the end, we'd had probably 5 or 6 different, radically different ways that it went out. None of them felt quite right. And then that came up as a wonder what would this would be like, you know, kind of idea. And that was it.
Is it difficult for you now to write music? You don't want to repeat yourself, but you want to do something that feels right to you, but you also have fans that are looking for a type of song. Is it difficult?
I mean, that's a good question. I think the act of writing music is as difficult as it always has been. It always feels like the hardest thing one could try to do. I'm not as afraid of it as I used to be. I think you see more output from me these days because I'm not hiding years at a time because I'm afraid to pick up a pen and see what happens. But the actual act of getting down and writing, I find, I still feel like I've got a lot to learn and a lot further to go. The act of writing. As far as what we're releasing, wherever I've wound up in life, I feel lucky that I don't care that much about, I don't want to misspeak here, but I'm less concerned about super serving the expectation of the fan. And it's more about what I think is the right thing to do. And it's given me the freedom now to not worry about the end of Background World. Seems cool. Done. Not to check in with anybody. I'm not risking airplay because there is none. Just do what you want to do. I can do what I want to do. And I don't feel that... I've listened to legions of fans over the years that generally the cycle goes like this. You put a record out, people don't like the record because it doesn't sound like the last one. Then after a year or so, you know, The Fragile took about 5 years. And then the record nobody liked is the favorite record. You know, so I've just come to kind of trust in my own instinct. When we're in the studio, we're working as hard as we can, and we're pushing ourselves to question everything. But what we're not doing is wondering, I wonder what that person in the front row, are they going to like this new song? That to me is the kind of, you enter into a place where it's artistic death.
Trent, it's always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, we thanked you for coming up above ground at the beginning of the call, and we'll close with that too. We're just happy to have you back, and there's not enough great rock music being made these days, certainly being heard these days, being bought these days, and we're so happy that you're back and you're still making such great stuff, and thank you for the time today. We really enjoyed it.
I really, really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Lee Chester Bennington and Linkin Park on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and that is One More Light. It is 725.
That's a beautiful song and a beautiful tribute to our friend, I'll tell you that. We are so excited right now. Judd Apatow has described her as the most unique, bizarre, imaginative comedian out there right now. Ladies and gentlemen, she is Lady Dynamite herself, Maria Bamford, in studio with us now.
Wait a minute. Is that a compliment?
It very much is. Maria, I'm telling you, we have a lot of comedians on this show, but few have such rabid followers as you do.
Well,
do your people have a name? Is there? Do you have an equivalent of like a Belieber or something like that? What do you call your fans?
Let's make one up.
Bamalamas.
Bams!
Very nice. Yeah.
I was going Bammies because it was kind of just sweet.
Oh, Bammies. Oh, that's cute.
Oh, Bammies sound like mine had more punch.
Yeah, yours had a lot more punch.
Plus, you can go with what you want.
A lot of my fans are like myself and have some sort of mental illness or in a manic state, so I'm sure they could come up with something even better. than any of us right now.
Maria, I have to ask, and I feel a little bit awkward talking about your mental state, but you are so open with it.
It's my shtick. It's all I got.
But it's also true. It's also your life, though, so I don't want to be insensitive here. But I guess I want to ask is...
Since when have you not wanted to be insensitive?
I don't want to be insensitive.
Come on.
Was being a stand-up comedian and putting yourself up there in front of people and at the mercy of how mean people can be, was that the smartest occupation in the world for you to go into based on all of the struggles you already have in your mind?
Well... I would have to say, I don't know if you've felt this while being on stage. It's an elated feeling. And then also, I think there is some sort of chemical that goes on in your brain, sort of oxytocin thing when people do laugh. It feels delightful. And it actually sort of clears the brain of any anxiety. It was the one time when I was performing it where I didn't have a lot of anxiety was to be on stage. Now, prior to getting on stage, sometimes I might feel anxious. Also, you can avoid...
That's kind of strange, if I could just interrupt, because a lot of people's fear would be standing in front of that many people. That's where they would feel the most panic.
And being judged.
Yeah, I did not feel that. You can also avoid a lot of judgment by not going to certain clubs at a certain type of night.
Okay. Is that why you play bowling alleys?
Totally.
Hot dog stands?
Seriously, I create the environment that I want to perform in because there's no need to do the surprise comedy and that's a wonderful thing about the internet. You can YouTube a lot of shows before you go see them, so there isn't that violence that occurs when somebody's like, oh, I'm so disappointed and drunk. Because people are given a 2-drink minimum, they're sat up front, they're trapped, they're well lit, and they're just like, oh no, this isn't what I wanted, and this is my Friday night out. That is where heckling starts, and some comics love that. Like, that is their thing.
Do you like heckling?
I'm not as good at dealing with it in terms of beyond saying, would you like to play in the part, play a part in the show? How about you play the little mute girl? and action. That's about all. Because I was raised to be a very passive aggressive and a lady. I was born in Minnesota, northern Minnesota, where there wasn't a lot of chit chat back and forth.
Really?
There wasn't any arguing. I think the most my dad ever did was say, Jesus Christ, and then walk out the door.
And what did he mean by that? He was just disappointed in whatever was going on?
Yeah, just kind of pissy, but not, it would never get mad. My husband's from Philadelphia.
So he's angry all the time.
Oh, my God. Right? Well, no, he just has a different level of expression of like, it's okay to give people the finger.
Right, sure. That's consistent with the Philadelphia brand, for sure.
Yeah, it's just, I'm just saying how I feel, and it's nothing to be afraid of. Whereas, my parents.
Did you get heckled by your parents when you did comedy for them?
Oh yeah.
They're a tough crowd.
Can I swear on the show?
No swearing.
Okay. Yeah. Well. Shut the F up, you stupid. See you next Tuesday before I snap your neck in half. I'm just reading what you wrote down here, honey.
No.
That's not.
Maria.
I think you're very talented.
That's a disaster.
I mean, if that's what you said.
Kevin brought up the bowling alley. And look, there are a lot of specials. And God bless Netflix, by the way, for just making comedy available to all of us all the time, always. And what a year they're having. But your old baby special that's out now.
Yes.
You you perform it. Are these real people you're performing for?
Yes.
Did you hire, like,
no,
when you're standing
real.
In front of a park bench and there's just four people sitting on the park bench, it looks like you just rounded up the nearest homeless folks.
No, those are actually friends that I
they
paid.
Are. Okay.
I paid scale. But I like the idea because you know how I don't know if you've ever been to a taping of a comedy special, but they're often very formulaic and like a factory. Like
right.
They get the audience in, like, come on, let's everybody go crazy. Whether or not people even know what they're coming to see, I think it's hilarious. So I like the idea of like me performing to myself, how your perception of the show changes with how many people are there. Because I had this friend who, when we first met, she said, oh, you're a comedian. Oh, good for you. Hope that goes well. And she saw me perform once, you know, not many people there. Then she saw me at a larger theater. And then she finally saw me in New York at a giant TV taping and was like, I didn't think you were any, but now I see that you have something there.
So you're
same material.
She validates you based on how many people are in the audience.
Yeah. And I think we do as human beings do that.
Sure. You said the exact same material, though.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think they've done that with other who's the famous there's some exquisite violinist, I can't remember, a younger handsome gentleman who did it.
Yo-Yo Ma?
No, well, no, that's
like
not cellist. Cellist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know the guy you're talking
still
about. The
a
one
string. Still a string.
Thank you.
Good. He went and played his violin in the subway.
Right.
And no one stopped. I think maybe a few people stopped, maybe dropped a fiver in.
Wow.
But he's one of the finest musicians in the world.
It was Joshua Bell, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes. Joshua Bell. That's
just walking right
just
past
about to
him,
come up with that.
Not paying him any mind. It was amazing.
And I think that's true, that if you don't see it in it, the context makes a huge difference.
Does your is your delivery any different of the material from two people to 1,000 people?
No.
Not at all?
Not at all. Not at all.
Maria Bamford is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The special is called Old Baby. It's available on Netflix right now. You can see Maria live on stage, by the way. This Sunday, she's going to be at the Brea Improv. Tickets available now, improv.com. And then you're playing up in Oxnard, too. We get a lot of people coming through here playing at this Levity Live. Is that a good venue?
I have not been yet, so I'm
first
excited.
Time. Okay.
I'm sure the menu looks good. That's what I always check out. See if
you're
they got
out the menu?
They got sliders.
Yeah.
So the
you guys got sliders?
I'll play it.
The Brea Improv this Sunday, and then Oxnard at the Levity Live August 9th. Tickets for both shows available. MariaBamford.com. More with our guests when we return right after this on the hilarious and delightful Maria Bamford in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I mentioned the Netflix special, stand-up special called Old Baby. Here's a piece of that.
That way, the next time you let somebody down, like I'm letting you guys down right now, there are not nearly enough punchlines per second. Jesus, what is this, a speech?
Yeah, and then after this show, she gives these shoulder-based hugs. Does she even give a
Well, why don't you click on my new Snapchat story? I love you, but I have glasses and a big mustache. Rainbow vomit.
Okay, that's very meta. I'm not sure.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's not
for everybody. I get it. And
right.
If you hate it, please use that rage to trampoline you into your own creative work. Sometimes that helps if you hate something.
Maria, you have done so much acting in your life.
Oh.
So much. 20 years of acting, right?
Finally, someone is. In little parts, yeah, sure.
You were one of the Avengers, weren't you?
No.
Oh, no, you weren't. Okay, I'm sorry.
And on Lady Dynamite, obviously, it's your starring vehicle that's also on the Netflix.
Yeah, we have the second season coming out in November.
Well, I wasn't going to ask you about Weird Al guesting on the show.
Oh, so excited.
Bean, how's that?
Bean thinks he's Weird Al is the greatest human being on earth.
Because he is.
He is so kind and extremely professional. I mean, as they are, there's some the people who are famous for a reason, because they are extremely hardworking. I'm looking at you guys.
I didn't sense you were
talented. You are greatness.
That must be so much fun, though, to be able to bring in so many of your friends kind of into that universe, that Lady Dynamite universe.
Yeah, and I don't know if they'd call me a friend, but they, you know, it's been incredible.
How about your Arrested Development experience? Because I can't imagine walking into that show like you did on the Netflix season. And I mean, who hasn't loved that show since the first episode? And you get to be a part of the world. Was it mind blowing?
It was mind blowing and delightful. Yes, I was a principal talent person, so I got to eat the good hot dogs.
All right.
And no, it was wonderful. But you never know how something's gonna turn. I mean, I'm sure you guys have been on different sets.
I mean, yeah, we're never happy.
Am I about to get fired? You know, like that. That's always in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
Do you watch it later and
critique yourself?
I watched it later, but yeah, I don't know how it went. I genuinely hope for the best, plan for the worst.
Right.
And I feel proud that I showed up. That's half of it.
Half the battle. I do like that.
I was clean that day.
when you're on stage, you say things that I can relate to. Like, I didn't want to come.
Yeah.
And
no.
You literally say that on stage, which is phenomenal. And it must kind of help you. You get that out. And it's like, no, that was real.
Yeah.
I really didn't.
I like to... There's a metaphor between, I think, show business and relationships. I've just been married only 2 years, and it's been the longest relationship I've ever had, it's been 4 years long. The longest I ever had was a year. And I did have a genuine epiphany of like sort of, relationships are just like the entertainment industry. Like, I don't necessarily, because people always say once you've been doing something a long time, oh, I bet you always knew you wanted to be a comedian. I, you know, that is the joke. I didn't want to do this show tonight. Which means me and my husband, we got a chance. Because we've had our hard times, when you're so cocky. Oh, our kissing's so hot, it should be on TV. Ugh. And then you get into the craftsmanship stage where things take effort. When you say, I want to have good material, but I want to have to work at it at a sports bar where the Super Bowl is playing. I don't want to do vulnerable impersonations of my mother. Well, Princess Daffodil, that would be the whole effing thing. So why don't you learn to project above 9 television sets, make some friends?
How does your mom appreciate your impression of her in your act over the years?
She loves it. Any
really?
Recognition?
Is that right?
I think and if she doesn't agree with what happened, that she said something once. She said, which is like, I couldn't find him in the house, and so I called your sister and I said, Maria's. It disappeared, and I'm worried she's killed herself, but I have a hair appointment in town. Honey, I mean, if it happened, I would want to look good and at the funeral, and, we just have to dredge the shallows for your body anyways. I mean, what am I supposed to do? But
she cannot have appreciated that.
Yeah, no, she did not like that. But then afterwards, she says, well, I just didn't say that. And then if she's ever recognized at the Hilton Honors line at a hotel or something, then she's excited. She gets a free bottle of water and all is well. But
happy ending.
She's always grateful that she likes, and she loves show business.
She does.
Loves it. Oh, God. She has me on Google Alert, which I've asked her not. So she'll know before I do. Someone told you to hashtag kill yourself in North Dakota. Why is it always these young fathers in North Dakota who seem to not like your work? Call me. Let's talk about this.
You are very active on social media. Do you enjoy it, or do you do it because it's part of the job of a 21st century comedian?
Yes, I think it's part of a job of it. And also, most of it, about 90% of it, is very positive and fun and people having a great time.
Oh, people are psyched to meet you, Maria. You know that.
Yeah. It's just fun to, and it's fun to connect. And then there's the 10% that is a bummer. I would say even less than that. Let's say... And some of that could be.
I got to tell you, for us, it's I'd say 60 positive
60 to 40. 60.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say 60-40 negative, by the way, but I was going to say.
But you guys are much more visible than I. I think the more visible you become, the more there is that can become.
The more
negative.
People that hate you, yeah.
Yeah, because it's. I don't know. I think there's some people who are very bored, mm-hmm. and need something, need something to do. And also, there's something beautiful about that. I'm glad people aren't out there with armed rifles and or armed, yeah.
Armed
I mean,
rifles.
I guess you can't always compare it to something exactly. worse, I guess. I guess that's a good attitude.
Yeah, that I'd rather have somebody writing something creative of, about how much they hate me than actually doing something in public.
Lady Dynamite and Old Baby, both available on Netflix, but why not go for it live and in person this weekend at the Brea Improv, Sunday night at 7. Tickets just $25. Improv.com, 21 and up to see the great Maria Bamford on stage. And don't forget the show coming up in Oxnard in August as well, levitylive.com. Maria, I'm so glad we had a chance to reschedule this.
Thank you so much for
having
me.
It's so wonderful to meet you in person.
Well.
You're welcome anytime.
Wait a minute, you're in.
Right? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. LANOC's alternative rock.
Hey!
There you go. Sorry. Now it's over.
It's the Kevin Bean Show at 7:53.
Jim Rome.
All right.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's the name of a guy. Who we're going to talk to just after 8 o'clock.
Going to be joining us coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show like we do on Thursdays, along with Dr. Drew and comedian Brad Williams straight ahead as well. Plus that new TV that you can win, too. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
Ronnie James Dio's going on tour.
I
what?
He is.
But
he has passed.
I got some bad news for you,
Dio
Ralph.
Dio Returns will be here.
Yeah, but he's not living as much as
Dio Returns is the name of the tour.
Huh.
How?
From the grave.
It'll be touring spring of 2018.
How?
Hologram?
No.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, what did you think it was going to be? What else could it be?
Corpse. Animatronic corpse. He's going to go out on tour with musicians who backed him over the years.
Like they did that Elvis show. They did a hologram Elvis show. Same thing, right?
The only one I saw was Tupac.
I thought Elvis was film footage.
Oh, is that what it was? It was just from movies? All right.
Less from you.
Here's an idea. Know what the F you're talking about for a minute.
That's never going to happen.
Yeah. Dio's estate, rather, worked with a hologram company called Illusion so that Ronnie can sing his hits, backed by guitarist Craig Goldie, former AC/DC drummer Simon Wright, keyboard player Scott Warren, Bjorn Englund, the bassist, and those are all guys who backed him when he toured live, and now he's touring dead.
Would you go see that?
No.
Bean?
No.
Allie?
Hard pass.
What if it was? What if it wasn't Ronnie James Dio though? What if Adele passes away and then?
How dare you?
How
dare you?
And then her
Allie just curled up into a ball on the floor.
Her hologram is touring. Do you go to that show?
Absolutely.
See, I think it's a matter of who it is.
I don't go to any hologram shows. I'm sorry.
That's you don't go to any because shows. You're practically a hologram now. You don't live in the real world. Well, you're much more virtual than you are real.
This is weird.
That hologram Tupac thing at Coachella was one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
But it was a novelty.
It was also a novelty, right? So I don't know that I would
go
for
a whole
show
of it, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Mm-mm. No, I'd rather go see a cover band of a favorite artist than that.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Because at least that's a live experience. It's real performers doing something. But the hologram's just, you might as well just watch a video on YouTube.
Right. And there's plenty of Dio footage.
Yeah. Sure.
If you miss it, yeah.
Well, I hope there's a Justin Bieber hologram tour soon. Because that'd mean he's dead, right?
Well, I don't know.
And not running people over.
I don't know that we want to kill him.
He made the announcement yesterday that he was canceling his tour the day before.
Yeah, a couple days.
A couple days ago.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he needed more time to run people over, Kevin. He had to take some time off from the tour so he could get behind the wheel of his pickup truck and run guys over. And that's what happened last night.
He ran a guy over.
He did. It was a paparazzo. But I don't think that diminishes the crime at all. If you watch the footage, ABC News has the best version. He gets into his pickup truck outside of the Hillsong Church. That's his church, you know.
Sure.
And like Jesus, guns it and takes somebody out, just like Jesus would do. When Jesus used to drive his pickup, he was pretty reckless.
I don't know
it's
that.
It's in the Bible.
I don't think it
Pick
is.
Pick it up,
where?
Kevin. Read
where?
It.
In Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
Yep. She knows.
Allie knows. She was just crossing herself.
I was doing the sign of the cross when you were saying Adele dead. I can't even imagine a world without her.
The 57-year-old photographer is in the hospital now, but apparently his injuries are not life-threatening. And, Bieber sure has found God.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I bet that photographer found God, too, pretty quick, as his life was flashing in front of his eyes. Of course, Bean thinks the guy deserved it because he's
I'm not saying that.
You said that.
I'm just saying.
Makes his living with a camera, he should be run over with a truck.
All I'm saying is if you see this video or any video where celebrities are trying to drive away from a place and they are swarmed by people who are 4 inches away from the car trying to take pictures, I'm not surprised that something like this happens once in a while. That's all I'm saying. Not saying he deserved it. I'm just saying it wouldn't have happened to me.
Nothing would happen to you unless a guy drove a truck into your house.
That's the only way a guy could hit you.
I don't plaster.
Or got out of bed in the morning.
That's I don't plaster myself on somebody else's moving vehicle.
No, this guy didn't. Did you watch the video?
Yes.
This guy didn't plaster.
He was 3 feet away from the truck till Bieber turned.
Are you ever standing in the road 3 feet away from a moving vehicle, Kevin, if you can help it? I'm just saying.
Everyone knows the conditions. Everybody knows the rules of that game. Mm-hmm. Every other celebrity seems to be able to inch their vehicle forward until there's a clear road in front of them, and then they proceed.
Look, it's Bieber's fault. I'm not saying it's not.
No,
I'm not saying
you
he's
love
not
Bieber.
At fault.
That's what you're saying.
Oh, that's
he's,
right.
He loves
that,
Bieber.
He's definitely
he
at fault,
Bieber.
But
Bieber can do no wrong.
Dot, dot, dot.
I mean, do you feel less bad that it was a paparazzo and not a nun? Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I think we can all agree on that.
Are those the only two options?
Those are the only two options.
What's a nun doing outside in front of his truck?
In front of a
Justin!
Church?
She's plastering on his car, showing her cans.
How?
Right? Putting them up on the glass.
Ralph!
Sister Mary Areola.
You're the one who brought the nun into it, Allie, not Ralph.
You just said Sister Areola.
Sister Mary Areola.
We're going to hell.
Put on the glass, sister.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's right.
I've known some nuns I wouldn't mind seeing.
Come on now.
I've known some nuns.
You haven't known any
I'm
nuns.
Saying, you
oh, for
don't.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had priests at my school that we called Father Whataways. Because they were, like, super hot. And you're like, I'd bone him, but he doesn't want to.
No, I'm talking about some nuns I wouldn't mind getting hit with a truck.
Oh.
That's very different.
Sorry, that's very different.
I don't remember knowing any hot nuns back at Our Lady of Resurrection. I just remember the ones who were just mean and vicious and cruel and would wrap you with a ruler.
Never
you didn't
mind.
Have any supermodel nuns?
No.
All right,
I didn't have Sister What a Waste.
I stand by Father What a Waste. They're there.
Intercourse!
I just remember Sister Ernest Borgnine. That's all I remember. Yeah. All right, let's move on, shall we?
Please.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Triple H. The wrestler's 48 years old today. Maya Rudolph's 45. Pete Yorn celebrates his 43rd birthday. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is 40 years old. And Taylor Schilling turns 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Jim Rome next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Coast to coast, you'll find our next guest on the radio, JimRome.com. If you can't find it on your AM or FM, Jim Rome's Daily Jungle is the podcast available at play.in and iTunes. And he joins us every Thursday about this time here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. Rome, how are you, sir?
Well, legend, you are about a minute late, but
yeah, about this time.
Apologize.
What's up, guys?
Apologize
for that. I know we got a lot of sports
apology
to get
not
into,
accepted.
But I just, even before we get into the UFC this weekend and so many other great things going on, I just want a big shout out, Jim, about the Smack Off, which is happening. How many years in a row now have you been doing the clone on clone crime that is the Smack Off?
20 years or 23 years in a row. Tomorrow
wow.
marks number 23, almost a quarter of a century. That's how old I'm getting. 23 straight years. It's crazy. Appreciate
and
you guys bringing it up.
Such an entertaining show because for folks who don't know, these are the listeners that call it and just smack talk each other, right?
They kill each other. Clone on clone crime. And
I love it.
As the time goes on, less and less sports and more clone on clone crime.
Yes, it gets very personal and very inappropriate, so definitely check that out. And if you're a fan of smack talking, I want to know how you feel the war of words has been going on UFC 214. Who's been winning in the public, do you think, between DC and Jim Jones?
It's pretty close. John
what
Jones,
John
Daniel
Jones?
Cormier. Or yeah, John Jones. John Jones, too. He's doing pretty well. He's doing better than Jim Jones. Nothing against Jimbo.
The thing about these dudes, they legitimately hate each other's guts.
Legitimately, yes.
Legitimately. Like Cormier, you guys know, he is one of the best guys you could ever meet. A better guy than Jim Jones. Great dude. Yeah. But he hates John Jones. And again, he showed it yesterday. He let the F-bombs fly. He called Jones a crackhead and a roider.
I could look like a crackhead with a suit on, but I've never been a crackhead like you, though.
You can forever say that you are the 206.2-pound champion of the world.
Hey, listen, you shouldn't be sitting up here right now for all the that you've done. So you sit up there on your high horse. How the can you judge? You have no room to judge nobody. You sit there with your mouth shut before I walk over there and smack the out of you.
Oh, so that's real. We got fat smack, we have bum smack, we have crackhead smack, and this is real. This is not manufactured like Mayweather and McGregor to get a cash grab. These dudes hate each other.
Oh, I want this to be a good fight so much. And what I love is there's so much at stake here. DC can finally be the champion that no one can deny because he will have beaten Jones finally. And Jones will, this will be the end of his long comeback from all of his out of the octagon troubles too. So it's, I mean, you really, there's so much at stake. That's what this makes this matter, I think.
Exactly right. I mean, Cormier has been wrapped as the fake champ by Jones over and over again. Jones is saying things like, I need to win this fight to get my life back. So the stakes are really high. There's all this hype about Mayweather McGregor, but this is in fact the fight of the year in the UFC. So we'll find out what happens in Anaheim this weekend. But this is one. Look, I can't guarantee you'll get money's worth on Mayweather McGregor. In fact, I can guarantee you won't.
Yeah,
but for this fight, you will if you throw down.
I love it. All right, let's turn to football now with one of the strangest stories of the year. Lucky Whitehead is a really, really unlucky guy, right?
Dude's not lucky at all. I mean, it's the strangest story of the year, and it's getting more and more bizarre. Remember, somebody kidnapped his dog and held it for ransom, and then this week the team waived him after news broke that he had been charged with shoplifting in Virginia back in June. Now, just as a sidebar, never mind that Ezekiel Elliott is being investigated for domestic violence accusations, or that Jerry Jones brought in Greg Hardy, one of the worst dudes ever.
Right.
This guy allegedly lifts. You like that, Allie?
I do. Thank
I knew you.
You
would. I knew you would. So Lucky allegedly lifts, what, a few little Debbies or something at a convenience store?
Mm-hmm.
And it takes Dallas maybe 15 seconds to break this guy off. Except he didn't do it. Some dude pretending to be Lucky did it. But the team stood by its decision, didn't want to talk about it, and then owner Jerry Jones tried to blame it all on the media. All right,
wow.
So Jerry, the media did not cut Lucky after he was falsely accused. Jerry, you did, just like the media did not try to circumcise a mosquito back in the day. Jerry, you did that.
Circumcising the mosquito. You don't have to do that.
That's a good flashback.
At least he's not a hillbilly. So, circumcise a mosquito.
Circumcising the mosquito.
Take Jerry.
So they
Someone
were
take, Jerry.
Just looking for an excuse to get rid of this wide receiver, and this was it. Even though he didn't do anything wrong, they still took the opportunity to.
No, they said he did lots of things wrong. That whole thing was like, yeah, but it's a pattern of behavior. It's not just this thing. Well, if it was a pattern of behavior and he did all these things wrong, why didn't you get rid of him when he did all these things wrong? They're trying to send a message, and most of all, it shows again, if you have game, there's almost nothing you can't get away with, but if you don't have very much game, they're going to break you off.
So, like, he hasn't suffered enough, now he's going to be a Jet? Is that where we're at?
No.
Right? Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Talk about falling forward. Can we go back to also that whole thing about the dog? How jacked up is dog napping?
Yeah.
And ransom for a dog. But then again, maybe that didn't happen either. So it's been a weird, weird run for him.
All right. The Dodgers are having the best season I can remember, no signs of slowing down. Last night, coming back from 5 runs down to win another game, it's just amazing. However, there is a little tiny dark cloud on the horizon with Kershaw out. What have you heard lately about what's going on with Clayton?
Right, so latest with him is, initially they were saying things like it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks, it's bad, but not as bad as last year. But now they're saying there's no timetable. So, good news is they've got the best record in baseball. Bad news, they lose the best pitcher in baseball again. So the question, and I know you're going to go there, what do you do? If you're the Dodgers, do you go into that farm system, which is loaded, and take a shot at a big-time pitcher like Yu Darvish or Justin Verlander? Or I could argue, even if Kershaw doesn't come back, they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, they win the division every single year anyway. Mm-hmm. So if you're LA, what do you do? That's the big question.
What do you do, Jim, if you have the opportunity to make that decision?
If it's me, look, these guys now make the playoffs every single year, but in this town with that team, that's no longer good enough. They have to win the World Series, something they haven't done in nearly three decades. They're good enough to do it this year. You pull the trigger, you take the big swing, and you get Verlander. Hey, look, I'm awesome at spending other people's money. Hey, Bean, you deserve another house. Buy one. Sanchez, buy another fidget spinner. You deserve it. I'm awesome like that.
All right, you can hear about all this and so much more. 3 big hours of great sports talk. The Jim Rome Show at jimrome.com, podcast at play.it, and iTunes as well. Good chat, my friend. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
See you in a few weeks. Go Ducks.
Thank you, man. Yeah.
Go Ducks indeed. All right, let's give away this TV. I still can't believe this. Every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are giving away this brand new TCL TV, which, by the way, is the fastest growing brand in America. And you've seen these things, right,
Kevin? Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, incredible. It's a 55-inch TCL 4K too good HDR for, smart TV.
It's too good for the listeners, I think.
And what do we want to say ahead of this giveaway? I guess we're asking the Garmy to call in, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much Ralph on TV.
Ralph on TV. If you love Ralph Garman like we love Ralph Garman on TV, this is a perfect game for you. 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to play for that brand new TV next on K-Rock. Up for grabs once again this morning, a 55-inch TCL 4K HDR smart TV. Ralph, you are here, and you have designed a game around your favorite television actor of all time.
Well, here's the thing. This guy is great.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. He's everywhere. He's logged a lot of TV hours. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And since we're giving away a TV, it seemed only appropriate that we talk about somebody who's been on TV for decades.
Is this guy able to stick on a certain show for a long time?
He's too big for one show.
I see.
He needs to spread his talents around to many different shows.
So he keeps moving by choice.
Yes.
I see.
Okay. He's like a acting superhero. He goes where he's needed.
I see.
He does his work, and he goes, well, my work here is done, and then he flies off.
Got it.
And he's too powerful, really, to stick around in one location, right? He has to be spread around.
Our
all right.
show can't encapsulate all he has to offer. Plus, he's such a chameleon. He needs to play many different kinds of roles in many different types of shows.
Who's the lucky guy?
Well, I thought we'd take a look at Ralph TV. Other than my regular day job here on the Kevin and Bean Show, from time to time, I have been lucky enough to do television, to be an actor in television.
Right.
And so we thought it'd be fun to look back over my minuscule career and pick out certain TV shows that I've appeared on, give a little trivia about that show, play a clip of my appearance, and then see if the folks who listen can name the TV show that we're talking about.
Okay, fair enough. And if you get it right, you go into the drawing. Someone wins the brand new TV from TCL. Who's our first contestant?
Steven and Murrieta. Hi.
Hey, Reed Dog. What's going on?
Hey, Steven. I'm going to read you a little clue about this TV show. Then we're going to play a clip of me being on that show, and you need to identify it. Here's your clue. This was broadcast on the WB. Remember the WB back in the day? From 1998 to 2006. And it was about a trio of sisters who used their magic power of three for good, and they also owned a nightclub. Here's
folks,
me.
It's a real pleasure for me to introduce, in a one-night-only benefit for the Animal Rights Fund, the Cranberries.
Man, that guy's good.
All right,
yeah,
come on.
Right?
Wow.
That really brought that to life.
Right?
Yeah. You know, that was awesome.
You know what show it is, Stephen?
Was that Charmed?
Charmed, absolutely. Going into the drawing. Thank you for playing.
Next up is Brian in Los Angeles. Hi, Brian.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Brian. This 2015 Sci-Fi Channel horror movie starred Steve Guttenberg and some big hot spiders.
Hey, what happened to your parrot? How can you possibly care about something like that now? Giant spiders are trying to kill us. I think you guys are serious about these.
Of course we're serious.
Oh, they took out the Blue Oyster. I love that place.
That guy's good.
Right?
What's that big hot spider movie?
I'd like to say it's Big Ass Spider.
No.
But that's not your
big
guess.
Hot spiders.
Right? Hot.
Tarantula. Mega Tarantula.
Close. Chilla.
Spatula?
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry. Lavalantula.
Nah, close.
Lavalantula.
I mean, not really, but thank you for calling.
Yeah, the chala.
Let's go to Ramon and Chino. Hi there.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Ramon. This show was about a teenage doctor and ran on ABC from 1989 to 93.
Hey, Ray. I hear you set a record. You've worked two full shifts without actually touching a patient.
Hey, it's probably a good thing. If you don't touch him, you can't kill him, right, Ray?
Oh, Ray was ticked off, man. After that, I'll tell you.
That Ray was upset.
Do you know what show it is, Ramon?
I do. It's one of my favorite shows, a Doogie Howser MD.
Doogie Howser MD. You're in the drawing. Hold on.
All right, let's go to Hugo at Anaheim. Hi, Hugo.
Hey.
Hugo, this Fox animated comedy is the sixth longest-running scripted show in TV history.
Hey, you touching my girl?
Relax, Jeff. That's her brother.
Yeah, that's how it starts. Come on, Brenda. We got to get out of here. I need cigarettes and jeans.
Awkward fade. What show is that, please?
Family Guy?
Family Guy. Drawing.
All right, next up is Manny from Montebello. Hi, Manny.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Manny, this...
I am a huge fan of Ralph, and I am going to be really sad if I don't get this.
All right, good setup.
Way well as well.
I'm going to be more sad, Manny, if you're a huge fan of mine and you don't get it.
No pressure.
Here, this clip is from a series that featured a character who had to balance her secret agent life with that of a single woman in the 1940s.
And now it's time for the Captain America Adventure Program, brought to you by Roxxon Motor Oil. Tonight's thrilling tale takes us deep into the heart of the Arden Forest.
You know what show that was, Manny?
Jesus Christ. Is that Robot Chicken?
No, sir.
You don't get another guess.
It's a multiple choice. Keep going.
Is it a Million Ways to Die?
No.
Is it Avengers Assembly?
We're going to have to hang up on you. You know that, right?
Agent Carter, Manny. Marvel's Agent Carter.
Yeah, remember the uncomfortably close angle that camera had on you?
How dare you, sir?
It was way too close. Let's go to Luke in Irvine. Hi, Luke.
Hey, how's it going, party people?
Good.
Hey, Luke. Here's your clue. This reality television spoof aired on Spike TV in 2003, 2004, and then for a third season in 2013.
The house is voted. Ashes to ashes. Dust to dust. Gina, you're dead to us.
Plate goes right in the, right in the old fireplace. Luke, do you have any idea what show that is?
The Falcon has spoken.
I got a good guess. I feel like I watched the whole thing. The Joe Schmo Show.
The Joe Schmo Show is correct. I want my Ralph
TV. All right.
Drawing.
Let's go to Anthony in Anaheim. Hi there.
Hey, party people.
Anthony, this medical drama ran from 2004 to 2012, featuring an unconventional medical genius and one alcoholic boyfriend to one of his patients. That was me.
What are you doing here?
I'm here for Vanessa.
Now is not the time, Bobby.
She asked me to come.
What?
Right, Doc? Actually, it was my idea.
Any idea what show that was?
Is that the famous Bobby in House?
It was Bobby in House MD, right?
Bobby!
It was Bobby.
So they cast you to play an angry, short-tempered alcoholic? One more. Let's go to another Anthony in Santa Monica. Hi there.
Morning.
Anthony, this groundbreaking police drama was created by Stephen Bochco and David Milch, ran from 93 to 2005, and starred a cop named Officer Gruden.
Female DOA in the garbage hole wrapped up in a garbage bag. Helper saw her legs sticking out when they emptied the dumpster.
Any ID?
I didn't quite make my way into the hole yet.
That's why God made ESU.
They got a situation uptown. He said they'll send a unit from the Bronx.
So you waited for us?
I didn't want to disturb the scene.
You know what TV show that was, Anthony?
NYPD Blue?
Correct, sir.
I want my Ralph TV.
Wow. Doing an accent, too. That was impressive. Ralph, look, you see Ralph Garman on TV, you don't forget it, right?
Right.
Steven and
Ramon. You'd like to.
Hugo, Luke, and the Anthonys all in the running to win this brand new, beautiful 55-inch TCL 4K HDR smart TV. Ms. Sadly, only one member of the Garmy can win today. Who's it going to be?
It is Anthony D. from Anaheim.
Anthony D.
Anthony D. Hey, Tony D.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Congratulations. Appreciate you just won yourself a TV.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for playing the game. Well, 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
I'm sorry? Where have you worked for 25 years?
Should I try
years?
That again?
Yeah.
K-R-O-Q.
Okay.
Okay.
Better. Better.
I mean, it's as good as it's going to get.
A lot of times I'm out on the street and people come
What's happening right now?
People come up to me. No, go with it. And they say, I enjoy the program, but how can I get more Kevin in my life? There's not enough Kevin. Is there a way I can hear more Kevin on
constantly
top of...
Constantly ask that.
That's what everybody wants. Yeah.
Yes, more Kevin on top of what I'm already hearing on the Kevin and Bean Show. Give me more Kevin.
Right.
Well, I'm excited to say that more Kevin is available today because Kevin was a guest on one of our favorite podcasts about last night, co-hosted with our friends Adam Ray and Brad Williams. And I want to hear how this went down with our friend Brad Williams, who is on the phone on K-Rock right now. Hey, Brad, how are you, buddy?
That's right. If you want to hear more of the broadcasting brilliance that you're getting right now.
Right?
With the guy that can't say the call letters at the station he's worked at for half a century. And yet, you listen to the About Last Night podcast, and that sort of brilliance will be broadcast throughout the entire world.
Certainly. So, Brad, I guess the first obvious question, and I'm not trying to make anyone uncomfortable, but
are you out of guests? I know.
Is are you out of guests? I mean, really, like, how far down on the comedy Rolodex do you have to go before you get to a radio guy?
Well, I mean, we had Grumpy Cat on, but then he kept canceling.
How dare you!
We had to finally go to Kevin, and then Kevin kept canceling.
I mean,
and by canceling, you mean A, forgot and didn't show up, and then canceled, right?
Yes, the first one, the first one, he just forgot. So
I mean,
just sitting there.
I was really, I was busy with, you
running.
Know, stuff.
Running?
Running.
Yeah, I'm sure like a new Air Bud movie came out on DVD and Kevin had to busy himself.
So you and your life partner Adam Ray had cleared your schedules for the afternoon, you were all set, and you literally were probably just sitting there at the podcast table just waiting for Kevin to walk through the door. And
don't feel like we need to camp on this idea.
No, but I'm just saying. So, I mean, how long did you wait before you started like texting him going, dude, what up?
15 minutes, because I had told Adam, based on my experiences with Kevin in Brazil, I go, at least 15 minutes. He's always at least 15 minutes late.
Right. So, if I'm saying, my point is, this is on you for inviting me onto your podcast. Right? Because you know me.
So you're comparing me, Kevin, to the woman who has a drink with Bill Cosby now.
No, I'm not at all. All right. So you text him and he's like, oh, does he just text back and go, I can't believe it, but I just forgot to do the podcast, but I'll reschedule?
Yeah. So he rescheduled.
Let's not focus on that, though.
And then what happens the second time?
We get a text about an hour. At least he gave us an hour leeway and said, like, hey, guys, I'm just really busy right now. And I think like Taco Bell came out with a new menu item or
how
something that day. And
dare you?
Just had to, you know.
Got to do what you got to do.
Moment.
All right. Once you finally got him in there, Brad, once you and Adam finally got him to the house. And by the way, I don't know if I remember to tell you this or not. After he taped the podcast, I said, whose house did you go to? Where did you tape it? And Kevin said, I don't know.
Yep.
And
I didn't know whose house it was.
And I said, you went to a friend's house and didn't know which house, whose house it was? And Allie, you were with me. Like, you couldn't get your head around that, right?
Well, it's such a dude thing. Like, I didn't ask. I didn't want a tour. Why would I do that? That was so dude of you.
You walk into the house, and there's the podcasting table right there. So
right, but who lives here is, like, first question, right? Isn't it?
I didn't know.
All right, so you finally, yes, go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, you'd think he'd figure out that it was actually Adam's place because there was no stools around or no reachers or, I don't know, no fiancé living there.
Well, I mean, there was that. I may not be observant. So when you finally got him in there,
how great was he?
How was Kevin as a guest? He's shaky as a co-host. How is he as a guest?
Well, first off, I'll say when we finally got him in here, he was 15 minutes late, like I said, and when he pulled up to the door, I said, dude, what gives? And he goes, well, I had to stop and get Mountain Dew. That is an absolute
there was story. A CVS by his house, and I had to get a Mountain Dew because I was a little run down, and I wanted to be sharp as usual.
Uh-huh. Okay. So he goes to the mentally stimulating Mountain Dew.
That's what I do. I texted you to ask if you had meth.
Yes,
and you said no.
True.
So Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
So what were you surprised by that you got out of your interview with Kevin? And I assume you were interviewing him about his Hall of Fame radio career, right?
Absolutely. And all joking aside, I will say this: Kevin may have been, and you guys can listen for yourself, may have been my favorite guest ever on the About Last Night podcast.
You've had Melissa McCarthy on your podcast.
What kid?
Yes, we've had Melissa McCarthy. We've had Neil Patrick Harris. Ralph Garman was the very first guest on our podcast.
Oh, that's kind of sting.
He did great. We were horrible. Could be because it was our very first episode.
Right. But Kevin was good, huh?
That's bullshit.
Thanks, kid.
He was amazing, and he told so many stories.
He was amazing.
If you're fans of K-Rock and you want to know the history of K-Rock, just how you guys got together, how you were in a party van that would stop by people's parties.
I told him
randomly.
About the Saturday Night Party Patrol, B.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day when you used to be out and around with people.
Right.
And we used to visit people's houses that were having parties, and then when the police were called, we'd run.
See, that kind of stuff is so interesting to people. Like, you guys lived it. You don't think it's a big deal. If people have listened to the station some your whole career, that stuff is really exciting to revisit.
And I told how we got the job here at K-Rock and what a ridiculous hire that was. Yeah. What were they thinking?
Yeah. Yeah. And just many, many old-time stories. And this podcast actually set a record. We had to do something with this podcast I've never had to do with any of our guests before.
Edit out me not being able to speak English?
Well, that too. Okay. But this is the only podcast where we've ever had to clear it with lawyers.
Oh, really?
What did that you is, say,
oh,
Kevin?
Well, really? Did
one
you?
Of my, yeah. One of my questions to Kevin was, how many times has the Kevin and Bean Show been sued? And he talked about some of the cases.
I talked about another radio station that may have contacted the president of another country at some point.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. No,
that wasn't you guys. We all know that was Carson Daly,
right?
And that's why he's
firing
AMP.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. So I had to clear it with lawyers. He talked about how many sexual harassment cases.
Oh, no. Come on now. Come on now. That's not true. Now you're just lying.
Although he doesn't know how accurate he is. Brad, this sounds like a lot of fun. Like you said, for people who enjoy the Kevin and Bean Show, this is a kind of a behind the scenes on what the career of the great Hall of Famer Kevin Ryder has been like. And the podcast is available everywhere you get your podcast on iTunes. It's called About Last Night with Brad Williams and our friend Adam Ray. They are the hosts. It's a really, really good show anyway, but I'm excited about this episode as well.
Yeah, it goes pretty much into depth. We covered the Mall of America West. We covered the Blink-182 concert.
Back when we used to be allowed to do April Fool's Day jokes, right?
Yes.
And when the general manager marched in and told us that we had to tell everybody it was a joke, and Bean said, I don't know how to do that. Maybe you should do it. And made the general manager go on the air. That was awesome.
All right. About Last Night is the podcast. Our friend Brad Williams on the line. Don't forget, by the way, you can still see Brad coming up in August at the Ontario Improv if you want. Improv.com for tickets. Brad, always great to check in with you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you guys so much, and hope I don't get sued for release.
L.A. NOC's Alternative Rock. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 8:53 in the Kevin and Bean Show.
Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us coming up right after the top of the hour. By the way, Vice President Al Gore on the show tomorrow.
Party.
He's not going to call me out again, is he? Remember last time we had him on?
Oh, right.
Like,
he's calling out your impression.
Ralph Garman.
That's right.
Does a impression of me. He called me out on my Al Gore impression.
Well, maybe Al Gore will have to interview Al Gore.
I don't know.
I would love that. And also, I think it's safe to say Lana Del Rey will be joining us Monday morning here on the Kevin Show.
Obviously.
So, a lot of good stuff.
Straight
ahead. First, though, it is showbiz beat time. Here's Ralph Garman.
Obviously.
fire must cleanse us.
Obviously.
Strangely, she just canceled.
Nah. Obviously.
She doesn't listen to us.
Right?
There's no danger of that.
Hey, you remember that famous Britney Spears meltdown where she shaved off all her hair and started going after the paparazzi with an umbrella?
Yes, mm-hmm. And a parked car, too.
Yeah. She started beating up a parked car and swinging an umbrella at the paparazzi.
Oh, the good old days, huh?
It was very sad.
Oh, that's what
it
I meant.
It was awesome. Sad.
It was very sad, and she got
hilarious.
Help.
Yeah. That was awful.
That's when she had her 5150.
It was awful.
Yeah,
was
she had terrible. A psychiatric hold because she was having a mental breakdown.
That's what I'm saying. How right. awesome was
Not
that?
Awesome.
Oh, come on.
Ralph and Kevin.
It was anyway. Bean.
That was you.
The photographer, Daniel Ramos, wisely held on to that umbrella back in 2007.
He's not auctioning it now, is he?
He's auctioning it off, Kevin.
No.
Come on, who wants it? Who wants the famous umbrella that she used to beat up an SUV and a photographer?
How famous is that umbrella?
But he is getting
you
all the money.
It?
I
you
did.
Remembered it.
Right, but would I believe it if somebody just said this is it?
Well, I'm sure it comes with a certificate of authenticity.
Right.
He's going to give all the money to mental health charities, right?
I don't think so. I think he's going to give all the money to his pocket.
Yeah.
He is reportedly looking to make 50 grand.
No.
50 grand off the item.
That's what he's looking to make.
He's hoping for 50 grand. Hits the auction block on August 10th, so I'll keep you posted and let you know how much it goes for. Look, it should be in a museum someplace. Museum of Nutty Broads. The Nutty Broad Museum.
I don't think that's
it's
a place.
It's in Pasadena.
It's
Look
not
it up.
A place.
No, that's a bunny museum.
Oh, that's
in
right.
Pasadena.
That's right. I knew it was something. Hey, I wonder if that goes for 50 grand, what is the pickup truck that Justin Bieber used to kill a guy last night with.
He didn't kill the
What's
guy.
What's that going to go
the
for?
The guy's not dead.
Ran over a guy, then backed up. Back over the guy. Ran over him again.
Are you thinking about Suge Knight?
Didn't.
Because I don't think he did.
Oh. Yeah.
I think he just ran over the guy the first time.
He did clip a photographer last night as he was leaving church.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Yeah. He had to take some time off from his tour so he could run people over, apparently. He clipped a guy with his pickup truck, and the photographer, a 57-year-old photographer, is now currently in the hospital. But apparently he's gonna pull through. He's going to be fine.
It's going to be really fine when he gets a check.
Doctors say his leg should heal quickly, but they can't get the dollar signs out of his eyes. That's the only problem.
You're absolutely right.
Nurse, get a specialist in here. Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. What's that noise? His eyes keep making those noises, and there's dollar signs in them. Allie?
Yes?
You'll be happy to know you are very hip these days.
Take it easy.
You are
Slow
very
down.
Popular. Your look is one that people are after.
Homeless chic?
No.
What are we talking?
Your adorable dimples.
Oh, I have double dimples.
I know. You're all kinds
yeah.
of dimples.
Excuse me?
The hottest trend in Hollywood is the dimpleplasty.
No.
They do plastic surgery to give you dimples?
They give you dimples.
Wow.
Via plastic surgery. The dimpled smiles of stars like Miranda Kerr, Gabrielle Union, Jennifer Garner, Kate Middleton has made it.
A lot of bells being missed there, Bean.
A phenomenon. For a procedure which starts at $800.
I don't think you want to go cheap on this one.
No. Does it say how it works?
They use a drill, a power drill.
Nope.
And they just drill
no.
a hole right through
I
your
don't
face.
I think that.
And they tie it
That's
together
my version.
Inside.
That's my version. I do it in the back of my car. I can do it for you for about $50. Now, what they do is they, under a local anesthesia, they go inside your mouth. And they make an incision. Inside the cheek muscle, and then they attach the undersurface of the skin to the inside of the cheek muscle so that when you smile or your face moves, then there's an indentation there and a dimple will be created.
That's going to look really natural in about 5 years.
Wow.
That's going to be really nice.
Yeah.
Not in the face.
Right?
About my double dimples. I was not aware of this until I was on a first date in which the man said, and I quote... You know that's a birth defect, right?
Oh,
it's
you're
like,
the charmer.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So that was our only date.
You
but
didn't
then
hang
I
on to him?
It up. It is apparently, yeah, it's a birth defect.
Did he put a bag on your face.
He also said that.
Did he offer to fill your dimples?
Come on. What's wrong
with
you
today? I mean,
in your face.
He almost couldn't get it out.
I can fill those up for you if you want. That defect you got there. I can fix that for you.
Oh my God.
They're the worst.
That's something you get a facial done to. Oh,
right?
Lady.
June Foray has passed away. She, of course, was the voice of Rocky the Flying Squirrel in the Bullwinkle Show. Also, Natasha on that same show. Super talented voice actress. She was Cindy Lou Who from How the Grinch Stole Christmas. She was Granny from Sylvester and Tweety cartoons. She did hundreds and hundreds of characters over her career, starting way back in radio, I think, in the 40s. She was 99 years old when she passed away.
Wow.
It's a pretty good run. And she was sharp and talented, was working right up till the end. So, I mean, it's sad news, but at the same time, can't ask for much more than that from a life, can you?
I'm asking for 100.
You're not getting it.
I guess you can. Bean's not happy with her life.
No, I'd be
she didn't do
off,
enough for him.
Ticked off if I made it to 99 in 10 months and then dropped dead.
Dude, you're not going to make 70. What are you talking about? You're in your last, like, 5 years of life. Make peace with it.
Hey, if you get offered 99, take it. Here's my advice to you. Today's celebrity birthdays. Will you?
Huh?
Yep. Honestly.
Right?
What's going on?
Wrestler Triple H is 48 years old today. Maya Rudolph is 45. Pete Yorn is 43. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is 40. Taylor Schilling is 33. Oh, late breaking news. We just found out. I wanted to say it. I didn't want to forget. TNT has just renewed Animal Kingdom for a third season.
All right.
We're going to get another season. It's been so good.
It has been so good.
Next week, they're going to...
Don't. I didn't watch this week yet.
Oh.
Go ahead.
But it's next week. I can't spoil next week. I haven't seen it yet. But I've seen the coming attractions.
Yeah, but it follows what happened this week.
It does follow what happened.
It does follow.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No,
never mind. It's been a day.
No.
Go ahead.
No, just catch up on it. It's great.
It's no fun anymore.
It's a great show.
You've ruined it.
Sorry.
Your dimples aren't your only defect. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this week.
Dr. Drew is next.
Dr. Drew is one of the busiest guys in show business with so many podcasts available at drdrew.com, including his recent episode with Steve-O. Steve-O's still doing all right, isn't he, Doc?
He is doing okay. You know, he had a little problem after he decided to do a snow angel in burning rocket fuel.
Oh, man. I could have predicted that.
Yes. He ended up in the hospital needing surgery. I mean, he was trying to deal with it at home, and you know, he has cameras going all the time, and I was watching his Instagram. I thought, oh my God, he needs surgery. He's lost.
He makes a lot of bad choices. And of course, Dr. Drew Midday Live with Mike Catherwood on 790 KABC. He joins us once a week about this time. And I'm so glad you're on with us today, Dr. Drew, because beyond the headlines, we want to hear what your thoughts are on this study that came out yesterday. Dr. Anne McKee is a neuropathologist, and she has been the one who's been examining these brains that have been donated to science after the death of football players. And the numbers are staggering. What can you tell us about this report?
Well, fake news, first of all. Everybody, it drives me insane the way science news is reported. It's almost never reported accurately. Distrust every headline you ever see when it comes to science. And because I know something about the clinical stuff, I don't know anything about the political. It just makes me scared to think how much distortion there are in the political headlines. But here's the actuality of the study. It was an excellent study. Ready? Yes?
Yes, yes. Okay.
Okay. Excellent study. It was a study of brains donated by family and patients who were complaining of symptoms of CTE. So they already were people who were sort of concerned they had this condition. It wasn't a random selection of football players, you know, we looked at, 500 brains and, oh my God, all of them had it. Not at all. These were people that had symptoms that were concerning.
We only read the headlines, though, Dr. Drew.
I know that. I can tell. And thankfully, so here's the deal. They showed, yes, there's an association between these worrisome symptoms of mood lability, even suicidality, impulsivity, aggression, and in the more severe cases, cognitive distortions, cognitive problems, and even dementia. But they showed the reason it was an interesting study is that even in people with mild symptoms of mood disturbances and impulsivity, they found significant CTE there. What the incidence is in the overall NFL, this didn't even address that question at all.
That is a really important distinction because it's 110 out of 111 of Brain's study, but what you're saying is if they had opened it up to the wider pool of other deceased football players who didn't exhibit any of these symptoms, it might have been 110 out of 800 for all we know.
That's exactly right. Now, I will tell you, I'm going to be interviewing a guy named Chris Nowinski on my show in a couple hours. And he is the guy he's a neuroscientist that started the whole thing. He noticed it in his peers. He's a guy with the NFL, and he said this is, and he will tell you, he's going to give me the exact data today. He knows more about what's going on because he's been collecting more general data, and he hasn't published a lot of it, so he's going to give us some unpublished observations.
That's good that he's keeping that to himself.
No, I mean, they're working on those studies, but here's what he's going to say. It's common. I know this is what he's going to say. He's going to say it's common. It's not 100% like the headline suggests, but it's common.
Okay, let me ask you this.
The other thing they weren't able to answer was how many people had no symptoms but also had signs on their brain. In other words, that's another interesting population. I think that's going to be common, too.
Yeah. In layman's terms, it's easy to say, well, if you get knocked down a lot or you get hit in the head a lot, it's going to eventually cause some damage. But what is literally going on that creates these problems in the brain in these football players, Doc?
Well, in a weird way, and again, I'm hoping Nowinski will straighten me out on this because I don't know. I'm not sure I have the accurate detail on this, but as I understand it, we don't really know precisely. In other words, there's not an exact one-to-one correlation between these sort of more global surface cortical injuries on the surface of the brain with the specificity of the injury. I was asking this of a researcher yesterday because a lot of the symptoms of CTE suggests frontal lobe damage, yet the damage wasn't – one of the interesting things about this study, the damage wasn't localized to the frontal lobe. So that was kind of interesting. So, yeah, we don't really know exactly except to say there's sort of a global cortical damage, and there's probably something subcortical going on too, but the exact one-to-one correlation with the region that's damaged and the kinds of symptoms, we don't really have that yet.
All right, two quick questions, and then we'll let you go. You have a busy day. Number one is, as an NFL fan, should I feel bad at this point about supporting the sport or no?
It's a great question. I struggle with it myself because I am a big fan. We should be concerned. I mean, the NFL is addressing this. But, you know, Catherwood and I were talking. Both he and I played high school football. I wouldn't be surprised if you were to open our brains up, you'd find some evidence in our brains.
I've been hitting the head a lot.
Well, he had other injuries. Yeah, he had lots of injuries from other things he did to himself. But the point being is that we really don't know at what point the kinds of injuries we associate with these sorts of repetitive head injuries becomes clinically significant. We don't know what that threshold is. So bottom line, they're going to have to do something about the helmet, something about the head injuries, or be prepared to do something about the consequences.
All right. And part two of my question, and the final one from me, is now you're a parent and you've got a little boy or girl who wants to play football at six. Yay or nay?
That is the really challenging question. Both my sons played football. I played football. It was important to all three of us. It's hard. It's hard to say yay, but I would also have a hard time holding them back if there's something they want to do. Let's put it this way. If it wasn't, you know, I went to a school that Adam called the Little Lord Fauntleroy School for Albino Hemophilia. and the kids went to the same school. And so if they were playing, if they were not playing football at a place like that, I would have real concern. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, fair enough.
Real heavy trauma, heavy head contact, it would be much more concerning.
DrDrew.com for all the podcasts. KABC for Midday Live with Mike Catherwood. The Heal app to get a doctor to come to your house. Get seen in the comfort of your own home. And by the way, just another quick plug since we mentioned Mike Catherwood. He is going to be co-hosting Access Hollywood tonight if you want to watch that on Channel 4. Yes, he will.
Yes, and I mentioned Corolla. He's testifying before Congress right now.
Oh,
weird.
Man, we got to talk to him about that. That sounds great. Yeah. Thank you for the time, Doc. We'll do it again next time. Bye-bye.
LA NOC's Alternative Rock. This is the world famous K-Rock. Kevin Beach on 942 White Taps.
Carson Daly was so young and vital, it seemed like. It's
not,
just not hard
dead.
To imagine.
He didn't die.
That he's
not
gone
dead.
Because
he's not gone.
I feel like it was like a week ago. We just ran into him in the hall.
He just got out of radio. He's never been more alive.
Really? He's okay? He's good. All right?
He's better
good,
than yeah. okay.
He's got like seven other jobs.
Yeah, well, good. That's true.
He's good.
He's still doing the Today Show. And
The Voice. He's
the Voice.
The Voice, yeah.
Late Night with Carson Daly.
All he did
still
was
got
drop
that.
The morning radio gig.
So he's your hero now, Ralph.
It's not it's the opposite of Taps. He should be playing Happy Days Are Here Again.
Okay. So
Old Lang Syne.
He's a dick?
He's not a dick at all. Great guy. Very nice
guy. I'd like
guy.
To punch him in the face.
No, no you wouldn't.
He's a sweetheart, and I will miss him in the hallways periodically when he would be
once
here.
A month.
When he wasn't in New York doing
doesn't
it.
Doesn't he always call people Bubba?
No, he does not.
He's the man who invented Booyah.
Nope. He is just a good guy, a great broadcaster, and I will miss him.
Asshole.
I will, too. He's been doing the morning show at AMP, I think, for like 7 years or something like that. And
you're going to miss all the time you spent with him here in the studio?
No, it's not.
You're really going to miss him.
You know what it is? Let me tell you something.
Did he used to broadcast from your island?
No, but I'm going to say this, because you know how I feel about radio and radio people. Yeah. Carson Daly sounded authentic to me on the radio. He didn't sound like a Seacrest who just every word out of his mouth is fake and calculated. Carson Daly told it like it was, and I appreciated that. And he was very, very good. It's easy to take for granted how good he is on the radio because you see him on TV all the time. But he's a really good broadcaster, and the industry is worse for having lost him. That's all I'm saying.
He's not dead. Still very much alive.
Yes.
So, good luck, Carson.
He doesn't need your luck. He's already got lots of success.
He's fine. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's find out what else is going on in showbiz. Here's Ralph.
You know who did pass away? That was June Foray, though. Legendary voice actress. Boy, she was talented. She could play everything from little kids to squirrels, like she did with Rocky the Flying Squirrel on Bullwinkle. You know what Rocky's full name was, Kevin, on the Bullwinkle show?
Rocky Van Homstein. No, I don't have any idea.
Rocket J. Squirrel.
Why would you? Oh. Guess that makes sense.
So Rocky was short for Rocket the Flying Squirrel.
Does he know Rocket Raccoon?
Just keep going.
They're both little
Natasha, that same show, Boris and Natasha. She was Nell. He was Nell, the Dudley Do-Right girlfriend on that cartoon. Cindy Lou Who from How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And hundreds of other characters. She was in the Smurfs. She was Witch Hazel from the Bugs Bunny cartoons. Did a ton of stuff for all the major animation houses, Warner Brothers and Hanna-Barbera. Here's a little tribute montage of some of our most famous voices.
Can't take my eyes off you for a second. Let me warn you, Sylvester, for absolutely the last time, if there's one little feather, just one little feather harmed of this bird, I'm going to sell you to the violin string factory.
Dudley, fancy meeting you here. I always knew you were a big spender, and there's just so many things in town I want to buy.
You're great. Big, wonderful moose.
That's me, all right.
Maybe you could see to it that Hard Knocks wins next Saturday.
Why not?
Bullwinkle, you can't do that.
I'm supposed to help ladies in distress.
But Chapter 3 says you never throw a game.
Well, you read your chapter, I'll read mine.
That was when Bullwinkle was playing football for What's a Matter You. That was his, that was his school. He was playing the School of Hard Knocks. What's the team he's playing up against? I love the Bullwinkle show.
I just went on Miss Foray's IMDb page. Her first credit is listed as is 1943, Ralph.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did a lot of work. And she was 99 years old when she passed away last night. Not too bad. Sadly, apparently Justin Bieber ran her over.
I don't think those two stories are
correlated.
I don't think those two stories are.
Everything's kind of blurry. I'm a little drunk.
You're getting those mixed up.
I'm just kind of reading this first page.
She passed away.
Says Justin Bieber hit somebody.
That's a different story.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he ran over a paparazzo while driving a pickup truck away from his church service last night. That's not what God would want, I don't think. That's not what would Jesus do. Jesus probably would not run over a photographer. Right?
I mean, isn't that preacher going to have to distance himself from a guy that runs over people out in front of the church?
I don't think he wants to distance himself at all. Cause,
really?
Because Bieber is the face of his parish, of his flock. gets a lot of people in there. Meanwhile, Mark McGrath has gone off on Bieber. Remember the lead singer of Sugar Ray?
Sure.
Yeah. He
This was it for him?
not the running over part. It was the canceling the tour part.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He said, the show must go on. He said about Bieber quitting his tour early. Being tired is not an excuse. So, I get the feeling Mark would be willing to pick up those dates if Bieber wants to give him a little work.
Does he have to sing Bieber songs?
No, sing that. Hey, now you're an all-star.
No, that wasn't it. Smash Mouth.
I'd like to hear that from you. Oh,
hey, I'm so excited.
I don't think that was...
so scared.
Let me tell you a little something. Kevin and Bean had a breakfast with Sugar Ray.
Really?
Boom! I just dropped some knowledge.
Sugar Ray, they were huge.
They were huge.
Bed, not.
I just want to fly.
Thing, something. That.
Fly? Is that them?
That was him.
I just want to fly. Mm-hmm.
That every morning, da 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 da. That was him too.
Yeah,
remember?
The bedpost thing.
I just want to fly.
Walk a through, walk a through, walk a through.
Arms around me, put arms around me.
I don't think walk a through was a lyric.
I just want to fly.
Yeah.
The breakfast was down. Kevin, do you remember it was in some sort of a
I
hamburger?
It was Mel's place? Diner.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
Mel's Diner.
Mel's down Diner on Sunset. Sunset.
Yeah. Sure. Remember it like it was yesterday.
You don't.
No memory?
No
memory.
Of course I remember all of it.
All of
it.
No memory
of
it at all.
Every question, every answer. Hey, tell us about that.
You don't remember that event at all.
Tell us about that song that you guys do.
Walkin'
Where you go?
Walkin' Doo. Walkin' Doo. That song. Oh, boy.
I don't remember yesterday. Back to you.
He's not kidding, people.
Right? CTE.
Baby, you know me.
Come on. Oh, my God.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Triple H is 48 years old today. Maya Rudolph turns 45. Pete Yorn is 43. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is 40 years old. And Taylor Schilling turns 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, we've got your tickets for Metallica. We've got comedian Al Madrigal. We've got another 55-inch TCL 4K HDR smart TV. We've got Al Gore on the program tomorrow.
And that's right.
RJ Bell will
be... We're going to save the planet.
...in studio, and the movie beat also, because it is Friday.